This Chazal is Eichanish Baruches Hashem. We're going to be Masechet Yevamos Daf Pei Tes. The Mishnah said Ain Lo Ksuba. The reason for this is the whole purpose of Ksuba is to prevent divorce from taking place. Here we want them to get divorced. There's no reason for them to keep the Ksuba. The Mishnah said Ain Lo Peiris V'Lei Mizaynis V'Lei B'Lois. These items are stipulations of the Ksuba, and since she doesn't get her Ksuba, she doesn't get the Tanai Ksuba either. Not La Mizeh Umizeh. In fact, it seems obvious she has to return what she took. Whereas we would think that once it's in her possession, she doesn't have to return it. The Mishnah therefore teaches that she has to return it even then. Mishnah said Avlad Mamzer. Mishnah says that one may not separate Truma from Tomei produce for Torah produce. If one does so b'shoigi, it's valid truma. But if it's done b'mezid, it's as if he did nothing. What does it mean it's as if he did nothing? So Rav Chisda said nothing at all is accomplished, and even the produce separated as truma reverts to his tevel status. If nothing, the son of Rav Hoshaya said, it means that he needs to separate truma again. However, the produce that was originally separated as truma retains its truma status. Rav Chisda doesn't hold like Rav Nosson because if we said that the separated truma retains the status, then the people will not separate truma for a second time. In fact, Gemara Mishnah says that one who separates produce as truma and it turns out to be spoiled is considered truma, but he has to again separate truma. This is problematic according to Rav Chisda. Gemara said in the Mishnah he's a shoygig, whereas in the last Mishnah it's discussing where he did a b'mezid. In fact, the first quote of the Mishnah said that for a shoygig he does not have to separate truma again. Gemara said in the second Mishnah he's a shoygig, which is bordering on being amazing, because he should have tasted the produce before separating the truma to make sure it's okay. That's why we make him separate again. In fact, Mishnah says that when one gives truma when someone gives truma from a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, for a produce from a perforated flower pot, and if it's done b'mezid, it's considered truma, but he has to separate truma again. This is not like Rav Chisda, who said that it's as if he did nothing at all. Mar said, since there are two separate pots here, people will fail to separate the truma a second time. Mar Mishnah says that when one separates from a perforated pot for a non-perforated pot, the kohen may not use that truma until he separates truma and ma'aser from someplace else for the truma that was taken for the non-perforated pot. If so, Hazar doesn't say that when done b'mezid, the truma is considered truma, which would mean that the kohen may use it immediately. Mar said, in the case of tamei truma, deraisa is a good separation of truma, as stated by Beloya, and that's the difference. Rabbi asked Rav Chisda, according to you, although deraisa, the separated produce, has the status of truma, the Rabbanan decided that due to the concern mentioned above, the produce loses its truma status. How does the Rabbanan have the right to uproot something from the Torah? Because they said, our Mishnah says that the child of the first husband is a mamzer. Now deraisa, she's his wife. So his child shouldn't be a mamzer. Yet the Rabbanan said the child's a mamzer, which then allows him to marry a mamzeres. So you see that Rabbanan allowed to uproot something from the Torah. Rabbi said, Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon both said that the child would be considered, would be usher to a mamzeres. The Rabbanan only goes that the child would be usher to a regular Yisraelis as well, but he would also be usher to mamzeres. So they were actually being goyzer. They were not uprooting anything from the Torah. Rav Chisda sent to Rabbi, we find that the Rabbanan can uproot something from the Torah because the Rabbanan have said that a man who married a minor who has no father, in which case the marriage only to Rabbanan, he inherits his wife at some point. Now, deraisa, the girl's father should inherit her. And yes, we see that the Rabbanan said that the husband inherits her. Rabbi said that's not enough proof because the Rabbanan could do that based on the concept that we learn from a pasuk that hefker bezen hefker. And they therefore they're allowed to make decisions on monetary matters. But how do we know when it comes to Yisurim that they can do that? Rav Chisda said the Rabbanan also said that the husband who is a kohen can make himself tummy to this minor wife if she dies. We see the Rabbanan can uproot something that's dead in the Torah. Rabbi said the reason he can become tummy to her is that he may do so even deraisa, because since he's the only one who inherits her, midrabanan, no one else will even want to bother with her to bury her. Therefore, she has the status of a meis mitzvah. So, therefore, a kohen, even though he's a kohen, he himself is allowed to be tummy to her because also a meis mitzvah, he's allowed to be tummy to her. Rav Chisda said, derabanan also, but we can see it from elsewhere. We see the derabanan allow her to eat truma based on this derabanan dika marriage. We see that the derabanan can uproot something which is stated in the Torah because she's really not married to a kohen. Rabbi said, this permission was only given for truma derabanan. We have no raya that this works for an iser deraisa. We'll continue on this into the next daf.